It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And today is, what is it, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, September 18th. Chock full of basketball news to talk about, Casey.
We are completely out of basketball news to talk about.
No, we're not. We are here to talk about one of the great, great hires in basketball history, I would say.
Okay. All right, lay it on me. I know who you're talking about. I want to see
you. Philadelphia 76ers GM Elton Brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I saw that and I just didn't know what to think. I don't know. Let me hear your take
single,
on it first.
Every single person who knows Elton Brand has been saying how smart he is, how good at this he's going to be. So maybe it'll be great. But, you know, holy goodness, does it feel like a stretch, right?
It feels like a stretch. It feels like the thing is, it's like I'm sure he could be good at it, but like he's jumping from being a player like 2 or 3 years ago. What has he been doing in the meantime? Has he been like an assistant
he's been in the front office in Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
This was an internal hire.
I don't know that. I don't know. I just feel like they, even though they're very well set up for the future, they're still a little tenuous in that they're still trying to pay off the process. And I just think this is a great time for a green GM to come in and like really fuck it up.
It could happen like that. I think the interesting thing is that everybody seems so positive about it, right? Yeah. Like, I think it's just like, we don't know what he's been doing in the front office because we haven't been paying attention to the people who were lower down in the front office, but
yeah,
you know, I don't think it can't work. I just think that it feels like it's not the right move. I don't, you know.
It feels like they've had a little bit of chaos in that position. You know, even when they had the idea to have the process and Sam Hinkie started it all off, you know, and then him not being able to sort of finish it. And then with all the stuff that happened this summer, it just seems like that it's not a position where you want to insert an additional vector of risk at this time. That's what I would think. So I feel like you would want to just, this would almost be you'd want to hire somebody boring to this position this time around.
I agree. And I think that that's probably how Elton Brand marketed himself. He's like, you know, I know players, I know how things are supposed to work. And, you know, if he's got an understanding of how the salary cap works, then sure. You know, if it's the basketball side of things, great. And, you know, there's no reason that he couldn't run the rest of, you know, what a GM needs to run. But it just, like, you know, normally don't you want people who have done this kind of thing before? But like, how does anybody get a start in this kind of situation?
Well, the thing is I feel like they get starts in these positions in less, like a phrase has popped up this last 2 years about like high leverage situations in basketball games. And mm-hmm. I would say that the 76ers are in kind of a high leverage, you know, 18 months.
These next two off seasons are very important for them.
Yeah.
Because this is where the East will be won.
Right. I think that it is, first of all, this might be the first time in history that Elton Brand was described as the non-boring choice for something. it's just that, yes, I like, salary cap is like every team probably has their little math guru that figures out salary cap bullshit. And the thing is, I still listen to the Woj podcast and he interviews a fair number of GMs. And the thing about that I've take away from a lot of his GM interviews is not their ability to like evaluate personnel or, make strategic decisions. A lot of it is, I knew this dude from back in the day. I had his phone number. We talked deals all the time. A lot of his like bullshit salesman-y, you know, like organic relational connections to people that is not necessarily a thing I think Elton Brand is bringing to the table.
I think in that you are wrong. That is what everyone is saying that he brings to the table.
Wait, at the player level or at the GM level?
At both.
Okay, so I'm
like,
sure he.
That's what the that's what the chatter. That's what the chatter is on Twitter. That he is like one of the most well respected, well connected guys around the league.
Okay, I mean, I think that I 100% believe that on the player side. It's just that the kinds of things that some of these GMs talk about in their decision, when they made deals, are they honestly sound like the kind of things of like, I played golf with Brian Colangelo's cousin's, you know, like son. We went to Merrimack together, or, you know, like it's just this like very, you know, old schooly kind of relationship thing.
And who in the league has played for more teams than Elton Brand?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and he's signed with people. He's had agents. He's been around.
By the way, my argument is sort of arguing to have an old white man be in the position. So, you know, I don't love having that argument, but you know, like that is also a way that people at those kind of positions can keep diverse hires out of those positions. So
yeah.
You know, I'm essentially arguing against myself. I just think it's not a slam dunk in terms of like, oh, that makes sense. Elton Brand, of course, everyone is talking about how he was the next big GM hire.
Here's the thing. I think we had a better candidate, and I think that our better candidate is somebody who knows a ton about basketball, but also knows a little bit about entertainment, also knows a little bit about, you know, theater and gay culture, you know, somebody who, you know, is passionate enough to make a video extolling the virtues of Lonzo Ball's defense in the middle of the night. I think the up-and-coming GM candidate is our very own Chris Grace.
Oh, yeah. For a second, I thought you were going to say Lin-Manuel Miranda. yeah. I'd love to be a GM.
Yeah.
Because I feel that... But it's also because I don't care about, like, actually holding this job. So, like, what I would love is an extremely transparent GM that is, like, you know, telling people exactly like what deals are coming. That is literally there's sort of like player relationship things that they often do that where they fuck up relationships with players that yeah. I'm surprised by, where like, you know, DeRozan is like, feels like Masai promised him he wouldn't get moved. And then Masai is like, no, I never did that. You know?
Yeah.
And also I would love to just, you know, I mean, who wouldn't love to just be like the run their own 2K franchise?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Elton Brand, what are decisions he has to make like relatively soon? Like, this maybe is a good spot for a new GM to come in.
Yeah,
I mean, in the summer.
I guess the question is he going to re-sign JJ Redick next offseason? Who are they going to pick in the draft with their very, very, very good pick next year?
Right. So this is better than if he, in my opinion, I think he's a little bit of a risky hire. I think it's better hiring him now than like 2 weeks before this past draft and being like, here you go. Like, I feel like if you hired Jerry West 2 weeks before a draft to be your GM, you might at least have like, well, Jerry's, you know, you have a little bit of cover in terms of like there's experience in these like leadership positions, whereas this might be a little bit better. You get through the draft and you've gotten through, like, this is not a surprise. There's not a whole lot of there's no transactions happening now, so
yeah,
this is a good spot to promote him, I guess, in terms of the calendar.
Unless he wants to sign Patrick McCaw to a restricted offer sheet.
Well, he essentially will have to decide that, right? Like that is a thing that is the kind of thing that will be on his plate starting now. Elton Brand, I always thought was okay as a player. I remember having him on a couple of fantasy teams and he was okay. And I wished he was better.
He's just solid.
You know, I will say this for him. One of the less dislikable Duke players in the history of baseball.
Oh, Duke.
Let me interrupt this to just give you a non-basketball, but a hot take that I think will infuriate a lot of people.
Okay.
And you as well.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'll go on record now. I think that the Machine Gun Kelly diss rap is better than the Eminem diss rap.
Oh, you know, I am just infuriated at your take on this because the reason I'm infuriated is that you have a take on this at all.
Yes.
Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly are as irrelevant to rap culture as two people could be. And yes, he racked up 85 million views on the thing on YouTube. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Eminem's dead. Eminem died 10 years ago, and they replaced him with some dumb idiot who thinks he can rap.
Casey, I'll send you the track.
You don't have to send me the track. I know what the internet is.
I didn't know who Machine Gun Kelly was until 72 hours ago.
Oh boy.
But his diss track's pretty enjoyable.
I was living for the Pusha T Drake beef in the summer.
Oh, that one was great. Yes,
I was living for that. This one, it makes me annoyed. I'm just annoyed at the fact that I have to think about Eminem.
Okay, we'll get back to basketball in just a second. I'll just say that it's an upset in terms of who I would like, because I think we talked about this with the Drake and Pusha T. I will almost always side against like trap rap and all of the Drake bullshit.
Yeah,
and the Machine Gun Kelly one is just like triplet trap rap, and it's so much catchier than the Eminem one. I'm just like, oh, I'm surprised, but I like this better. So you know, I thought you wanted to hear the hot take.
That is that's a very hot take, because apparently people still have takes about Eminem in today's economy.
Oh yeah, man, he destroyed MGK's career. The other thing I wanted to catch you up on was I caught up, as I'm not a good Asian, I finally saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, hey, what'd you think?
I loved it. You've seen it, right?
I have seen it. I really liked
it. Okay. Well, no one told me the name of the protagonist in this movie.
Okay.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, I do remember his name. Give me a sec. His name is Nick Young.
Yes. And I laughed every time they said it, because I was thinking about you and wanting to have him like back on the Lakers and all that.
The entire movie is just me with the Nick Young confused meme.
Yes.
Just watching it. That's all I had on my face.
I mean, I liked the movie. I thought the cast was great. I thought the guy who played the lead character was great. But I did think throughout the movie, what if we had Nick Young playing this character?
Oh, man. That would have been the swaggiest movie of all time.
Yeah. So that's...
One thing I really liked about it was how bubblegum fun the movie was. Like, everything in that movie was so fun, and I feel like we get so few of those truly fun movies at the theater that aren't, like, action movies. Like, a romantic fun movie just... So it was so refreshing and so good. And I think, like, oh my God, Constance Wu is so good.
She's really good. She's kind of luminescent on screen. Oh, and
it's out of control.
Also, the guy who directed it directed like Step Up to the Streets 2 or something. So I think that's where his like the energy comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that's my Nick Young update for the week.
Great. Love it.
He is living in Singapore with his rich family.
Yeah.
He's thinking about marrying Constance Wu.
But hey, good on him. That's an upgrade in my
mind. Definitely. Is Nick Young still with Iggy Azalea?
No. They broke up like before he left the Lakers.
Who is he with now?
Himself. He's not even signed to a team.
Can we get him with Constance Wu?
You know, that is a good question, and we will have to check the tape on that one.
Okay, we'll have to work on that. So he doesn't have a contract right now. I believe Richard Jefferson does not have a contract right now.
I don't know if Richard Jefferson is going to play in the league this season. I think he may soft retire.
Well, what I read today was, and this is just a headline from Reddit, I didn't read the article, was that if he doesn't get a contract, he will become a Brooklyn Nets announcer.
Interesting. I heard something, and I heard it because I did it, and I didn't sign anything that said I couldn't talk about it. I was a test contestant on a game show that he is developing and hosting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There's a number of weird things about the sentence you just said.
Yes. Yeah.
But primarily, Richard Jefferson is developing a TV show and he's hosting it.
And can I tell you this? He was amazing. He Ooh. Was an amazing game show host. Like, it was so good. It was awe-inspiring how good he was.
And is it a brand new game?
Yes, it is a brand new game that they are developing for television, and it may, you know, go through changes before it hits TV, if it's even bought. They were in the process of trying to sell it to a network.
Okay, so there's a production company, and do they make like a pilot version of it, or were you?
Yes, a pilot version. Okay. So we went to a conference room and did it in a conference room in front of the network execs from this network.
It wasn't like we're gonna shoot this and show it to the network.
They did shoot it as well, but it was live. The execs were in the room. And I got brought in because I'm a ringer. I'm somebody who's not just some idiot who doesn't know how to do a game show, but it was that we were an improv group that like is fun and friendly with each other and a perfect example of a good contestant.
Is it sports related or is it just game?
It is just a game show related. The premise of the game show is that there's a team captain and they have to choose who on their team is going to answer a question in a category. So like you'll get the category and the category will be like, this question's about sports. Who on your team can answer sports?
Interesting.
Yeah. Richard Jefferson was amazing. The game show needed a bit of work.
Did you win?
We played two games. I won one and I lost one.
Okay. Either he'll be working on the game show or he'll be in a Brooklyn Nets announcing booth.
That's perfect.
Or theoretically he could play for a team. I guess that's also an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
I often wonder what the thought process is with like adding a weirdly Nick Young, Richard Jefferson, Luol Deng. Nick Young is probably still the most productive out of those three.
Yes, I would say so. I'd say it's close between him and Luol if people use Luol correctly.
You're saying the Lakers didn't use him correctly last year?
100%. They used him correctly for what they needed him for, which was to warm a bench seat every game.
Yeah. Yeah. I often think about the thought process of adding somebody like that to your team. It seems like, obviously it'd be great to have a veteran around that will show people the ropes and sort of be a stabilizing locker room presence, which I assume Richard Jefferson would be.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like it's almost like you can just extend your career longevity by 4 years by just being a good guy.
Yeah.
And then the question is, I think we talked about with Luol last time, which is like, how much do they actually want to play at this point?
Yeah. And I think with some of the locker room guys, it's important that you were good back in the day so people will listen to you too.
Well, see, that's the thing. So, you proposed me earlier as a potential GM, but like except for the fact that I can't play basketball very well, I think I'd be a great locker room guy.
Yeah.
I think I'd be great locker room guy, great press conference guy. I give great quotes in the locker room. Keep everybody's morale up.
I mean, you'd probably have a couple of one-liners. I've seen you've been doing some stand-up recently.
That's right. I got back into stand-up. Yeah. I did stand-up for a fairly long time in New York City, and I haven't done it since I lived out in L.A.
Yeah.
Shout out to any Los Angeles would-be stand-up comedians. If you want to go to an open mic, I've gone to one every single day for the last 6 days.
Whoa.
And I will continue to do so. So if you need somebody to go to an open mic with, because they are brutal.
Yeah, they're tough. But I have a friend who does an open mic in Glendale on Wednesdays.
Ooh, which one?
Bitch Sesh, or I think is what they call it. I can't remember exactly, but Rachel Friedman.
Oh, cool. For a second, I thought you were pitching your own improv team.
No, it's different. We're not the only team that has the word bitch on it.
I just remember it was like, well, my friend is a great open mic, I guess you would call it. I mean, it's really seven of us on stage taking a suggestion. By the way, you're up in San Francisco right now.
Yes, I am.
Have you caught any like Warriors vibe up there?
I was wearing my Paul Millsap jersey to go out to dinner tonight with some coworkers, and a guy in a Steph Curry All-Star jersey gave me some stink eye as I walked down the street.
Oh, why?
Why? I mean, because I was wearing a Utah Jazz jersey in San Mateo. I don't know.
Yes. No, it's just funny because I had to think about it for a second. Like, it just seems orthogonal to like, who cares if you're a Warriors player? Like,
because it is orthogonal. And so who gives a what
About Paul Millsap?
Yeah,
if you're a Warriors fan.
He only saw Jazz 24 and was looking at me as he was sitting in a Freddy's Hamburgers, just giving me mad stink eye. It was very funny.
Let's
most
talk
of the
about,
most of the vibe that I've seen when I've been out has been football vibes, because people are into football.
Are people all Garoppolo crazy?
People are Garoppolo crazy. I mean, you know, he's got movie star good looks and a cannon for an arm. You know, hey, Garoppolo it. Get it, Garoppolo?
I think we've talked before about how much we hate NFL, but right now the NFL is a league where the best quarterback in the league is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No. Don't say that. It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Patrick Mahomes.
No, Ryan Fitzpatrick has the best QB rating.
QB rating is an overrated statistic. Pat Mahomes got the arm, and he doesn't get... his statistics don't get much worse when he's pressured. So...
I thought you hated the NFL.
I pay enough attention to be able to talk about it. Why do you know these things? I pay enough attention to be able to talk about it. Also, it's so hard to quit the NFL in the season when your favorite team finally has a good quarterback for the first time in 25 years.
Wait, who is your favorite team?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, coincidentally, the team that... So this is why you know a bunch of Mahomes shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ryan Fitzpatrick at one point was a player, like the last time around that I played fantasy football, was like a guy on the Bills or something.
Yeah.
That was just like an underperformer.
Yeah.
He not like a journeyman? Like,
yeah, he is a journeyman quarterback, and he's had a great start to the season. And, yeah, good. Go. I mean, you saw his press conference, right?
I did not.
Oh my God. You got to see his press conference.
Oh, wait. Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up to press conference in DeSean Jackson's ... What? What's the end of that sentence? I don't want to click on this thing.
It's clothing, and you should click on it. It's very funny.
And DeSean Jackson's flashy outfit. My discovery of the week in the NFL world is defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, James Betcher. Instantly at the near the top of hottest coaches in the world.
yeah. Oh man. Yeah. You better start paying attention to some of the coaches in the football if you're looking for some new pinup material.
Well, I always got my eye on them. You know, one of my underrated favorites was Eric Mangini.
Oh yeah, the old Mangineer. Yes. New York Jets coach.
And then there was like a Detroit Lions coach named like. I know his name is not Matt Mullenweg, because that's the guy who invented
Matt Mullen. Matt Mullen is his name. He was the GM for them for a while.
No, it was more weird. It was like Morningweg or something.
Oh, Marty Morningweg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also adorable.
Yeah. Go for it.
Go ahead. Let me hear the rest of your question.
Are you a Matt Patricia guy?
He's all
new,
right.
New head coach for the Lions. All right.
Too much. Yes, he's fine. I feel like he might have said things that annoyed me about women. Is that possible? Was he accused of something?
I think that was the second one.
Yes, that sometimes makes people less attractive to me. As it should, I think.
Yep.
Because I was all on fucking Brett Kavanaugh. No, just kidding. what I want to talk about was what's going on with the Timberwolves?
Ooh, it's a mess in Minnesota. Jimmy Butler did a power play. Did you see the power play?
No, I didn't. I don't understand this is where Chris Grace as GM would start pulling my hair out, because I'd be like, oh, we're all settled. Like, now let's just make it to our preseason. So then what happens? What was the power play?
The power play was that they were going to have a meeting to talk about the state of the Wolves, and they were going to have it in Minnesota. And then Jimmy Butler was like, nope, come to LA.
And then they're having to fly there to like, So they're coming like hat in hand to be like, please stay with us. So the very little bit of that I read about it today was that the combination of Butler, Wiggins, and Cat don't like playing with each other.
Yeah.
And that Jimmy Butler likes the coach, whatever.
He loves Tibbs. Tom Thibodeau.
Tibbs. He loves Tibbs. Probably because they both seem very intense.
Yeah.
So he probably loves that, like, grind it out, you play 49 minutes in a 48-minute game approach. Wiggins and Cat don't seem as on board with that style.
Yeah, definitely not.
Except that Wiggins is signed for, like, 3 years or something. Like, he signed.
He signed him for a while.
So he signed 5 for $150 million or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cat has like a max that he hasn't signed yet.
Correct.
So the problem is, if you're Jimmy Butler, you might love Tibbs all you want, but these two dudes that probably don't bring as much intensity to the game as you would like, might just be about to lock themselves up for like a while.
Yeah. So get out, Jimmy, get out.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a suggested destination that you'd like him to go to?
Yes, I do. I think Jimmy Butler should go to Memphis.
Memphis.
Team up with Gasol. Team up with Conley. And I think the two of them would create the best non-Warriors backcourt in the league.
Well, so what can Tibbs do? Tibbs is going to the meeting, and I guess their GM is going to the meeting as well?
I think so. Here's the thing. Tibbs is their basketball guy. So, like,
he's GM in charge of, like, basketball operations or something?
Correct, correct. So all basketball decisions go through him.
Okay. So, and Butler is signed for this year, right?
Yeah.
This is a question of what he's going to do.
Then he's a free agent after this year.
Okay. So then the question is, my question is, why is this meeting happening now? Like, what difference does it make?
Because Carl Anthony Towns is playing too much Fortnite.
Because, like, it's not like Tibbs can he's not going to be like, well, you haven't signed that max yet? Let's take it back. I mean,
it's probably that, like, in the offseason, Carl Anthony Towns has done no workouts with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
It's because they don't like each other, and he wants to figure out what the hell is going on.
Yeah. So I guess the result that Jimmy Butler could get is, how soon can they trade him?
Right now. They could trade him right now.
So they have from now until February to trade him, basically, right?
Yes. If they, after the meeting, they come to the conclusion that neither of them want to be with each other.
Right. So this could add this like last little final chapter to one of the craziest off seasons we've ever had.
Oh yeah.
Because like it's not impossible that like 2 weeks before the season starts, the Lakers package like Ingram and Ball and somebody else for Jimmy Butler or something like that.
They're not going to do that.
I mean, I would probably not, but like, it's not impossible, is it? At this point,
it's not impossible, but they're not going to do it. You know why they're not going to do it?
Why?
Because I don't want them to. I love my baby Lakers.
Well, that's going to be a fun thing to watch this season. Is the tension between the baby Lakers and the LeBron Lakers, basically. And can they become one team?
They will, and they can, and they're going to. And if you don't believe, you could fight me. Anyone can fight me. I'll fight anybody, and I'll cry a lot, and I'll fight too.
Well, the reason I think that it is possible is that from all accounts, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and Kuzma seem to be hard workers generally. So none of them seem to be super entitled in terms of I'm a star on the rise, I deserve this, blah blah blah. That like I feel like we've seen some from some other young players.
Yeah, like I don't know, Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, exactly. They don't seem to have that. In fact, I think coming into the league, people would have thought maybe Lonzo had some of that. And I feel like Lonzo, no matter what you think are his deficits as a player, has shown pretty much that he kind of just keeps his head down and works.
Yeah, he is the antithesis of what people expect from the members of his family. Because his dad's a dickhead, and his youngest brother looks like what if the Joker had braces? And I mean, if you see that, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's definitely going to be like them. But he's not. He's a goofy kind of guy who wants to work hard and play basketball.
Yeah.
And rap.
Okay.
Don't forget about
the rap. By the way, correct me if I'm wrong. Did we talk about Manu on this podcast?
I think we might have. I can't remember.
I feel like it slipped between two episodes. Okay. I just want to briefly say, you know, goodbye to Manu, an excellent foe for the Lakers over the years, and one of the only Spurs that I genuinely like.
Yeah, and all bats in NBA stadiums, you're now much safer.
That's right. I'm inadvertently bringing up the NFL again, but I was impressed the other day when a player for the Bills just like retired in the middle of a game.
Yeah, that he did what everyone should do is retire from the NFL.
And Manu did the, you know, he retired and didn't do the like farewell season kind of thing.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, I mean, there's a couple of farewell seasons this offseason. You got Dwayne Wade in his farewell season coming through.
Right.
Uh-huh. You got Tony Parker in his farewell season.
Is it Charlotte. His farewell season?
I mean, it's going to be. Just wait until Tony Parker gets to Charlotte and plays and they go, oh my God, oh no.
Well, another question is it a farewell to the playoffs for the Spurs this season?
I mean, as much of a stretch as that transition was, I don't think it's as much of a stretch to say that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think they'll make the playoffs now because their best players are LaMarcus and DeMar. But they've lost, you know, I know you were down on Danny Green, but they lost Danny Green. They never really had Kawhi last year, but they lost him. They lost Parker and they lost Manu. So there's probably, in addition to like a talent drain, there's a team culture drain there that I don't know if the, you know,
well,
I don't
know if
Patty Mills can keep it up.
If they need a team culture reinfusion, Matt Bonner is still waiting to get signed. They just signed Brent Berry to be a front office guy for them.
That's right.
And maybe they'll sign Mark Jackson to put TNT back as the number one. To put ESPN back as the number one broadcast on basketball.
Well, I was going to say they could re-sign Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
Although Richard Jefferson has been pretty—he's been pretty vocal on his Road Tripping podcast that he does not like playing for Pop.
Oh.
But you know what? Maybe they need some swag on that team.
You know, I mean, hey, if he can do what he needs to do, he'd be a great Spur. They should sign Andrew Bynum. They should sign every former Laker.
Oh, let's talk a little Bynum. Have you caught up on his workouts and such?
I mean, I saw the video. It made me cry with tears of joy. I'm just so excited for my Andrew Bynum jerseys to be relevant again.
Yeah. He's currently working out. His trainer sort of like put out a thing of like, you know, this is the comeback or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Were there any more developments after that, or is it just kind of
no developments? Okay. And I look forward to seeing him playing in China.
Yeah. I mean, if he gets in shape, you know, there's always room for a 7 foot tall person to play in the league.
Yeah.
Or in some league.
Especially somebody who has multiple times stated how much he doesn't like playing basketball.
God. I mean, I can kind of, that is the one area that I kind of have sympathy for Andrew Bynum a little bit, because it's clear he never really wanted to be a basketball player.
Yeah. But, you know, make that money.
Yeah. You know what? A lot more has happened since between now and our last podcast than I realized, because also someone else injured himself.
Yep.
You were telling me before we started recording, I didn't hear this, and I haven't kept up in the last couple of days, but apparently Devin Booker broke his hand?
Yes, he broke his hand. And the word on the street is that he signed his contract, then a couple weeks later was on Instagram doing a bicycle ride, no hands, and then he broke his hand.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting two and two together and saying,
Wait, what are you implying?
Is that he broke his hand on a bike while playing Instagram games.
Oh, I thought you meant that you were implying that like he broke his hand beforehand and hit it or something.
Oh, no. It's hard to hide that when you're signing something. You're holding a pen. You can't do that with a broken hand.
No, it's not hard to hide it. You just have a removable cast.
Okay.
And then when you lose the finals, you put the cast back on, and then you tell everybody that it was broken the whole time.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying that's one way to do it.
Right. Wow.
I mean, I would never cast aspersions on a Los Angeles Laker at this
cast.
Point. Oh, boy. I can already feel my LeBron James hate softening, and I know my past self is disappointed in my present self.
Here's the thing. My past self is proud of your present self. So.
What about your present self?
He hasn't decided yet.
Well, yeah, because we don't know how the season's going to go.
No, I mean, it's going to be weird, and that's the important thing. It's just focus on how weird it's going to be.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a shout out to our big podcast fan, Stefan.
Stefan.
I got to see Stefan in person. I surprised him on Saturday at a party that I was at. And he reminded me that we put it out there into the universe that we have to make sure that the 3-point challenge gets filmed and recorded for posterity.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
We're running out of weekends. We got to make a commitment sometime soon.
Sure. We will definitely do it. You mean we're running out of weekends in terms of doing it before the season starts?
That is correct. Yeah. I mean, I guess if we do it a little bit after the season starts, like, who's going to fault us? But
yeah, but also, we don't need to do it on weekend. I have a lit court near me.
No shit.
That stays lit until like 2 a.m.
No way, really?
Yeah, and it has nets. It's incredible. I've never lived near a neighborhood basketball court as nice as this.
Wow, holy shit. Yeah, let's do that. Shooting at night would be so cool.
Do it at night. It's a lot cooler.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, maybe the sun would be good for filming, but I'm not a filmmaker. I don't know that shit. Well, ask a filmmaker.
It just got to be. We just got to have a clear image.
Cool. Great.
That's it. I mean, we got to see all those swishes we're going to throw through the net.
Yeah. you know we're going to make a ton of them when we say all of the swishes that we're going to throw through the net.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the terminology you make when you're making those threes.
We're going to be throwing clean swish.
Clean swishies right through the net's hole. Yeah, who's ready Swisheroos. To do a basketball?
Swisheroos.
Oh yeah, baby.
I mean, look, we have to beat what, 7 out of 24? Is that what we're
7 out of 41?
If we can't do that, we should just shut the podcast down.
Don't say that. Do not say that.
You know what? I'll make 7 no. by myself.
No. I'm not committing to this. I want to keep doing this podcast. I'm not good at basketball.
The thing is, if we miss that many, then we just flip it to the other challenge, which is can we miss 24 in a row or however much it was.
Yes. Okay. I'll do a rotating challenge.
Well, yeah. What we'll do is we'll shoot the footage first. And then decide which challenge we were going for.
Because I fully believe that I am a 20% three-point shooter. Okay.
Yeah, if we're undefended.
Right. Undefended, got plenty of time, 20% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
But
Steve Nash, in one of his shooting workouts, said that he expects himself to be an 80% undefended three-point shooter.
Yeah, great.
That's his standard. So... Yeah. Can we be 1/4 as good as Steve Nash?
I mean, that's how I feel. And I think with variance, that puts me at about like a 50% chance to fail this challenge.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right? So like, you know, if my true skill is 20% and then over the course of 41 attempts,
right,
my chances to make 7 or less are about half.
Oh, so now are we each doing 41 shots?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, because you're that means you're right at your, you know, 8 would be your 20%.
Yeah, approximately. Yeah, and that's my, like, you know, I think that there's a decent chance that I do not beat this challenge. I think I can, but I'm you know, I'm not sure.
Oh, I'll tell you why you're going to be the challenge, because we're both going to be there. You're going to do your 41. I'm going to do my 41, and we're not going to be chasing basketballs. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Shout outs to whoever's volunteering. Oh, yeah. We're going to rebound for each other.
No, we rebound for... Actually, you know what? We'll fly someone in that's a podcast listener.
Yeah.
From anywhere in the contiguous 48 states.
Nice. Perfect. I mean, I'd fly you in from Rosarito, too. I got those Southwest miles.
Dude, we have, you know, like, I've got all this podcast money rolling in.
Yeah.
You are... Like freshly, you're a fresh one percenter.
New job, based on new apartment.
Yep,
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. So like we'll find somebody first class $5,000 plane ticket to come rebound basketballs.
Cool.
And guess what? You're not gonna have to run for your rebounds because they're gonna be swisherooskies.
We're gonna drop them down a bucket and pull them out of the other side.
Yeah, we should also shoot. A version of the challenge at the family amusement arcade on Vermont and see if we can make 7 out of 41 at the Papa Shot.
I'm good at Papa Shot. Okay. You can't fuck with me. I scored 88 on a Papa Shot once.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, don't mess with me. I will wreck you at Papa Shot. And also we should film that and I will wreck you. I love Papa Shot. I was out on a date with this girl and I told her that one of my like life goals is to have a Papa Shot machine in my house.
Oh,
And I was like, man, it's funny as you get older, how your life goals become sadder and sadder, you know, just like I have this goal to have a thing that you can easily get for under $1,000.
Right.
That's like, that's the only goal I have.
Well, you know what? That goal is more complex though, because that means you need to have a place to put it.
Yeah, I could just put it in the bathroom. Who needs a shower, man? I got a Papa Shot machine.
I mean, Papa Shots are pretty large, aren't they?
They're pretty big. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, It's like going, it's like wanting to have a Miss Pac-Man in your house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I think a Papa Shot video would be very fun and competitive. The game that I wish I was better at, that I actually find very interesting to play at the Family Amusement Arcade on Vermont is the NFL Papa Shot.
Oh, the one where you you try to throw the football through the holes at the certain time.
Yes. Yes, because I'm a person that has never learned to properly throw a spiral football.
It's not easy. And, you know, yeah. I think you and I probably have similarly sized hands.
Yeah.
I have hands that are too small to properly grip a football.
Uh-huh.
And so I was never, ever really good at throwing a football.
Yeah, I don't know how to do the spiral. What's weird is I know how to do a spiral if I'm throwing a line out in a rugby match.
Okay, yeah, got it.
But that's two hands. Too slow for that game.
The key is, you know how to throw a baseball?
Yes.
The key is to kind of throw it like a baseball. You know, you've got to follow through and flick down with your wrist, and that'll really help you with your spiral.
Huh.
You know, if you're trying to throw it and like spin it down but also go forward, that's not what you're looking for. You need to throw it like you're throwing a baseball.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you know what, like, I know what you're talking about when you talk about throwing a baseball like that.
Yeah.
But I also never, I can visualize what you're talking about, which is like you just did like a chicken hop and you picked up a ball in the outfield and you throw it and you kind of like flick it at the top of the arc.
Yeah.
But I've never done that my whole life.
It's so funny. I was teaching somebody how to do that, that move that you called a chicken hop. Is that like a regional thing? Like that they call it a chicken hop in Houston?
I feel like in Little League, they called it like a chicken step or something like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Out where I learned it, we called it the crow's hop.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, it's a bird. They're similar, it's a bird. Right?
Well, it's like, what do you call when it's raining and the sun is out?
Oh, I don't think I have a word for that.
I mean, you could call a sun shower.
Yeah, I don't know that word.
Right, but if you're in, like, the Deep South, you could call it the devil's beating his wife, which is a genuine term for that.
I have heard that before. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the devil's just beating his wife.
What about when you're like picking a fresh batch of flowers, but you don't have paper to wrap them in?
Ooh, I don't know. What do you call that?
You call that a hootenanny.
Is that really what a hootenanny is?
No, it's not. No, of course not.
A
hootenanny is a dance.
That's right. By the way, speaking of sun showers and rain, what about storms?
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Look at that segue.
One of a very, very impressive weather pattern. Y'all, the Seattle Storm mopped the floor with the Mystics, basically for two out of the three games of the finals. It was not super competitive, which was a bit of a bummer. But game two was very close. The Mystics almost pulled that one out. But yeah, congratulations to Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart for securing the WNBA title this season.
Did you tell me once that Sue Bird is like the oldest player in the league?
I believe that is the case. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even think she's retiring after winning. I think she's going to keep playing.
I mean, and yeah, well, actually, so I was going to say, why would you, except that we made a previous case that like, well, actually, if you've made a significant WNBA team achievement, maybe now you should go collect all your higher salaries in all the other leagues.
So they do that. They do that while they're playing. Like they just the off season is that time. So yeah.
Well, I guess what I was saying was like the WNBA season can then become your off season next year, by retiring is my point. Because I think we had talked before about like the grind that their bodies go through trying to like sustain income by playing almost year round.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi did that a couple of years ago. She went and played she didn't play the WNBA season because she was just focused on her other leagues.
Yeah. Well, by the way, did you say how long Devin Booker is out?
He should be out like 6 weeks from the surgery, which was about 2 weeks ago. So he's going to miss it like the first 2 weeks of the season.
Okay. I mean, it's fine for them. They're probably still in tank mode, aren't they? I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Confusingly, they're trying to compete.
Right.
Right? It doesn't make any sense. Like, they signed Trevor Ariza. They traded for Ryan Anderson. They're targeting Patrick Beverley. They're trying to make the playoffs in the West, which, like, even with the people they're targeting, like, they're not even close. It's kind of a sad thing.
Huh. Yeah, that's very strange because, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Spurs potentially not making the playoffs. And I would say the Spurs are a much better team than Phoenix is.
Yeah.
No matter who they add.
It's so tough. That's such a tough thing.
Well, good luck. Godspeed to the Phoenix Suns. You know?
Godspeed.
I'm so genuinely indifferent to the Phoenix Suns. I liked Dan Majerle. I liked Steve Nash. I thought it was fun when Kevin... I love Kevin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I have zero opinion about them.
There you go.
Well, another riveting week of basketball news. Actually, like I said, it's surprisingly more than I thought, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you had to put money on it, do you... I'll make this two parts. One is... Does Jimmy Butler end the season as a Timberwolf?
Okay.
Two, where does he play next season?
Okay. So next season, and by next season you mean the season after this season. Yeah.
Yep.
I say yes, he's still on the Timberwolves. And truthfully, I think that he signs with either the Lakers or I don't know.
76ers.
Maybe.
The Lakers have room for one max player. Is that right? Next year?
Yes. One max player.
Okay. So it's very unlikely that they would get Butler and Kawhi.
Yeah. No, not going to happen.
And also between Butler, Kawhi and LeBron, now we're sort of all playing the same position, aren't we?
Yeah. We'll have to get Chris Paul because he's a point guard and he's the only good point guard.
Oh yeah. And then we'll have that trade canceled for basketball reasons.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week in San Francisco.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
And I hope you pick up some Warrior swag off the ground from somewhere.
I mean, definitely people leave a ton of stuff on the ground in this.
I mean, it's San Francisco. I assume they're so like, rich that they just throw shit out their window whenever they're done with it.
It's baffling how much money it costs to live up here. It's baffling.
Beautiful city. And that's coming from us. And we live in an expensive city.
Yeah.
I don't think we could afford to live up there.
Nope.
But enjoy your time up there. Get some, sourdough from the bakery next to the wharf.
I absolutely will not. I am not. The furthest I got into the city was like, I don't know. I did not get even anywhere close to the city. I'm in like San Mateo. So like south of the airport.
So you're in like, sort of halfway towards like all the startups and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly where I am. So like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's no city life for me. I went to a party on Saturday night in like I think the I can't I don't know the Outer Sunset I don't know how familiar you are with San Francisco. I may have just made that up, but they're
you're in the sunshiny area.
I'm close to the western coast of the San Francisco Peninsula. Then I didn't get into downtown or anything, and I'm staying down here.
I'm
because
not super
of work.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I'll just throw this little tidbit out there. I'm not super familiar with San Francisco, but I think that the the conception about like I'm going to go work for Google and I'm going to live in San Francisco. It's a very, I have had a lot, I have a lot of friends. I have a couple friends that work at Google. I have some friends that work at like Groupon in either Mountain View or whatever. And it's a weird proposition, which is like, you have a great job and you have this great city that's near-ish your job, but they're not really that close. So I have one friend who like lives in Mountain View and works at Google, and I have another friend who lives in San Francisco and works in Mountain View. And sort of either way, there's difficulties.
Yeah.
Because the one friend like takes a Google bus from San Francisco to Mountain View. And it's a long commute.
It's a hard hour. A hard hour.
Yeah. Also, people shoot guns at that bus occasionally.
Yeah, it's our American pastime.
Yeah, or you can live out in Mountain View, which I drove around last time I was there, where people listening to this podcast, if you're from an American suburb, just imagine like very, very mediocre suburban homes from your childhood that are like, that cost $4 million or something insane.
Yes.
Like, just that crappy house that like you were glad you and your family moved out of, and now you go back to your home neighborhood and you're just like, oh, like look at that shitty place.
Yeah.
That's the kind of house that they have in like around Google, and for a very high price.
Yeah. Yuck.
You know what? Everyone should move to LA.
Yeah, baby.
Including Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Cool, man.
Great.
Well, we'll talk to you when you're back in town, and we'll send you guys another episode.
Perfect.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye.